us is Evan Walker from 361. Also, his colleague, Sy Jacobs, has become a regular at the Biz News conferences. He'll be back again in March. Evan, I hope he's going to bring you down with him so you can come and whisper in his ear when we talk about retail issues. There's lots going on in the retail field. We had a jump in the ShopRite share price yesterday after a trading statement. And since we last spoke to you, we've had the results from Pick and Pay. Now, in bygone years, those would have been the two big retailers, the two big heavyweights that would be in the ring. Today, of course, it's like a heavyweight against featherweight or mosquito weight, given the different fortunes of those two groups. But let's start off with ShopRite and your thoughts on the trading statement that the market seemed to love so much.
Hi, morning, Alec. Morning, everyone. Yeah, I mean, ShopRite was superb. I mean, we really didn't anticipate growth on the South African market in the 11s. We know inflation's coming down to sort of the 3-4% mark. And we were looking for sort of volume growth around 2s with a bit of space growth. So we had sort of 8 penciled in, 8 to 9s. I think consensus was around 9.5. We were a little bit more conservative, just given, we can talk about Pick and Pay afterwards, but just given the fact that there has been a rising competition back in the SA market, there's been a bit of a recapitalization in Pick and Pay. Spar looks like they're trying to get their act together. So we thought there was a little bit more of a competitive element coming back in. But no, I mean, the big mammoth, the big Goliath, obviously ShopRite just dominating the sector continually and obviously taking more volume share, you know, from its competitors and, you know, doing a sterling job.
And I suppose when you get to the size of ShopRite, and it has been organically grown, they started with zero and they're now at a point where they really are the huge player in South Africa. You presumably have more money to reinvest into your business than the others have. So it becomes an ever more difficult race for them to catch up.
Yeah, it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, as you rightly say. I mean, ShopRite now is investing 3 times the amount of capital that its competitors are investing, you know, 9 billion versus sort of 2s to 3s from its competitor stable. So, you know, that's just incredible. And that's going into all parts of their business, from logistics, obviously, into, you know, their new 60-60 offering, their internet offering, which is unsurpassed. And, you know, given the amount of leverage in the market, they've been able to cap the fee. I mean, you can order as many times as you like from 60-60 for 100 rand a month now. So that's quite an effective discounting method back into your price points, Alec, if you think about it. I mean, you know, you don't actually have to drop your gross margins or drop your pricing. You just allow the customer to order again and again and again at an additional cost to you, you know. So it's quite an effective pricing mechanism in the market. And obviously, you know, I think it's a very clever way to ensure that you're still getting in-store gross margins while you're attracting, obviously, your internet customer from your competitors in a very competitive landscape. You know, we seldom speak about the sort of mammoth we spoke about the other morning. Obviously, the Walmart stable as well, looking to sort of re-platform its macro business and realign its game businesses. And again, there, you know, we're hoping that they make some form of comeback. But at this point in the cycle, there's just nothing to stop ShopRite. And given the amount of investment and the fact that these are very clever guys, I mean, they have really studied this marketplace substantially. They know what they want to do. You know, they have, you know, active records on 30 million customers today. They are just very, very clever guys. And they're really at the sort of forefront of technology, innovation, logistics. You can't fault them. And then, you know, what we've seen coming through more and more from these retailers, you know, similar to what we spoke about in Capitec, was just obviously offering more services to customers. So whether it's, you know, bank transfers, you know, all these types of little incremental payments coming through these retailers are just adding another level of service fees. And those are growing, you know, faster than actual retail spend at these retail checkpoints.
On to Pick and Pay. And we did use a boxing analogy earlier, which I think is appropriate here, because they've got the jewel in the crown being Boxer, which is in the process of being separately listed. What is that going to do for Pick and Pay as a whole, and particularly for Sean Summers with his attempted comeback?
Yeah, Alec, I think it puts Pick and Pay back in a significant cash position. I mean, it had to be done. I mean, you saw the losses out of Pick and Pay, 700 million at the operating level for the half year. That's before, you know, obviously additional leasing costs, etc. So you saw the substantial losses at the half. I mean, obviously they're guiding for those losses to be substantially lower. In fairness to Sean, I mean, he's doing the right things. You know, his job is to come back and just turn Pick n Pay profitable again. He doesn't have to worry about market share. He just needs to get a business back to a level of profitability, and he needs to find an element of niche in the South African market. I mean, what I'm struggling with when I Pick n Pay, and I walk through them, you know, often, and I look at the stores, as I just try to see and I try to think about it from Sean's perspective, is just how you entice a, what I call a wow factor back into these stores. And I'm really struggling with that. But, you know, in fairness to him, you know, I think he's looking at the store profiles. He's looking where he can obviously, you know, suit the customer the best. And I think he's just going to have to be very strategically clever around, you know, what he does. But I mean, for me, it's how does he find this wow factor for Pick n Pay again, which obviously he had in the late 80s, 90s, and into the early 2000s. He had this substantial wow factor in Pick n Pay, which he lost to then Woolworths Foods, Spar Superstores, and then obviously Checkers as they came through the ranks and started obviously powering ahead from Pick n Pay and the likes of all the other competitors, just as they reinvested what was really mass market profits from the ShopRite division back into Checkers over all the years and developed that to such a substantial brand today.
There's a big lesson for all businesses there. Just don't fall asleep at the wheel. And when you don't, you just can't rest on the benefits of the past. What might those niches be? And I take you to very close to where we used to live, the Pick n Pay store just off the Nickel Highway in Johannesburg in near Hurlingham Manor. That's a fabulous store. And it does appear to be competing with just about any other store that there is, but there aren't that many of them around in South Africa. Could that be a niche that they might go into, or are there other areas that they could fulfill? Because clearly they're not going to beat ShopRite, not at ShopRite's game.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as I said, I mean, the Nickelway store, I mean, I lived in Fourways for most of my life. I mean, I'm down in the Cape now, but I mean, you know, it was a store we often visited, and there was numerous stores, Pick n Pay stores, that were still very good stores. But it's just a nuance, Alec, that you try finding these store layouts. If you see the new ShopRite stores, they've got a Starbucks in them. They've got they've got all these sort of deli formats, which I don't see popping up in the Pick n Pay. I mean, obviously Pick n Pay had this, but they've seemed to sort of flatline in this approach. But you know, it's become sort of Checkers has become sort of a store-in-store concept per se. And I mean, you know, I don't know what more you do to an operational environment, a store layout environment. I mean, I've traveled the world, fortunately, and been lucky enough to see stores all over the world. And ShopRite today, I think, is leading edge. I'm not saying all our retailers aren't leading edge. They're just doing a little bit of a better job. I think Woolworths Foods has still got a bit of a wow factor in it just because its food is so classy. But I'm struggling to see where Sean can pitch his business and try to get this wow factor back. But in the intermediate, he is doing a better job. And I mean, we've seen better like-for-like sales growth coming through from him. I mean, obviously, he's culling a lot of underperforming stores. It's the right thing to do. You know, don't chase market share. Just chase profitability now. Get it back to where it can make money. He's going to have a substantially better balance sheet. I mean, Box is probably going to raise him, we think, in the upper end. Now, Box is going to be quite an exciting listing, Alec. I mean, it comes with another whole element of the market. And for once, yeah, there's a business in the Pick n Pay stable, Box, that actually competes with ShopRite. You know, so they neck for neck, you know, I would say probably at the bottom end of the market, a better retailer, funny enough, than ShopRite. They just seem to have positioned better in that bottom end of the market. They've got a big store rollout campaign still coming. They've got some big stores. I've traveled to a lot of parts of South Africa in the rural areas. And they've got some very big, exciting formats still coming. They've got a big property, growth vector, which is still there for that business. So quite excited about this Boxer, but it's certainly going to give Sean, you know, a very, very big balance sheet to deal with this Pick n Pay issue, which is going to take time, obviously a couple of years. I mean, the analysts are sort of only predicting a 3 to 4 year turnaround to profitability on Pick n Pay, and that's going to be going some.
Evan, for those who aren't as close to the action as you are, Boxer at the moment is part of Pick n Pay. That's going to be separately listed. Can you buy Pick n Pay shares now and then participate in the separate listing of Boxer?
Alec, we're not sure. Okay, so we're not sure if you're going to, we don't think you're going to get a pro rata. Theoretically, they should do that. If you're a shareholder in Pick n Pay now, they should give you the first allocation, but I don't think it's going to work on that basis. It looks like it's going to be a bidding process. They're going to open up the listing. You're going to put in your offers. And you know, you're going to get allocated based on your price. So I think it's going to really be a price-based listing. So it's not going to be based on whether you're participating in Pick and Pay currently. So it's not like a rights issue. It's really going to be a new listing per se, where you're going to put in your offer price. So again, I mean, it's whether you buy Pick and Pay now and hopefully get an uplift in the Pick and Pay shares if Boxer Rally significantly and drags the Pick and Pay share up with it. We think there's a little bit still in the Pick and Pay price, but obviously it's run quite heavily from the low 20s, you know, up to where it is 26, 27. But if you have a big take up in Boxer, I think that can go a little higher, but not substantially higher, but I think it can go a little higher in that process. But, you know, your first enter market would be to try get some Boxer shares. We think this is a good business. But again, it's going to be based on pricing and to what extent that multiple trades. You know, we don't think it deserves a ShopRite trading. We think it still deserves a bit of a discount. But again, it's going to be based on the market appetite at that point. It's towards the end of November. We're going to see the final pricing on that.
Evan, thanks for sharing your insights with us. Evan Walker is with 361.